It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Is there any subject more important than the love of God? Knowing God, knowing His love, loving Him, is there any subject more important? And I wonder if there's a subject that is often less understood than the love of God. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I've got a special program today that I believe will really bless you. I've got a dear friend of many, many years, fellow Jewish believer, pastor, author from Long Island, who joined us last year to talk about the love of God. He teaches on a regular basis in our school, has ministered to our church on the love of God. We have seen it have profound effect. I mean profound effect on many, many lives. It's my pleasure to have in the studio today Pastor David Harwood. Thanks for joining us.
Michael, it's a great opportunity. It's a wonderful time to be with you.
Great,
I'm just enjoying seeing you face-to-face and not doing this over the phone.
Yeah, we did it over the phone the last time. Here we are face-to-face. I'm devoting maximum time to this interview with David. I'm not taking calls today, but you can email me questions, comments at Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, and ask drbrown.org. And if you would like Pastor Harwood to come to your church and do a seminar, or your ministry school to do a seminar on the love of God, you can call 888-378-FIRE. Give us the information. We will pass it on to Pastor David, 888-378-3473. I've known you for many years. Ministered in your congregation on Long Island. We've spent many precious hours in fellowship. But it's some years ago, God began to jar you, speak to you, stir you about this subject of the love of God. So can you just give us kind of the short version of the journey and how you got so consumed by God to deal with this subject?
Well, over a number of years, I went through a successive time of breaking before the Lord concerning motivations and just the entire matter of, like, why was it that I was doing what I was doing? And at the same time, I was furiously and intently reading as much theology as I could about the attributes of God, because I, you know, really in my heart of hearts, I'm a worshiper, and I wanted to both study the scriptures, spend time in the presence of God, and also read about what God was like. And so I read some of the classics.
So you had been in ministry at that point, pastoral ministry, for how many years would you say?
Well, I would say that, like, when this impartation took place, I must have been about 15 years.
Okay, and you had recorded worship CDs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So a worshiper, would you say that you had a good relationship with the Lord?
Oh, I really do believe that I did. And many believers have a great intuitive experience with the Lord, but have misunderstandings about what God is like and what His love is like because of what it is that, generally speaking, what it is we've been taught.
So would you say, by and large, your experience in the body is that we're not just deficient in our teaching on the love of God, but there are actually some errors in our teaching?
Well, I'm sorry that I have to say that, like, I'm absolutely convinced of that. And, I mean, you can trace it back to certain prominent theologians in, like, the very early 1950s and things that were popularized by also wonderful people such as C.S. Lewis and others, who spoke about, really, in some ways, Michael, they just sort of defined the term agape itself in a way which is not according to the biblical evidence.
All right, so before we get into some of the issues, some of the misunderstandings, and then we're not just going to give information. And David, I've been with you so many times. God's not just given you passion for this. He's anointed you for this. So I want to encourage you listening. Maybe you're listening to me right now in Utah, right before the broadcast, specially felt to pray for our friends listening in Utah. I believe many of you are going to get insight into the love of God in a way that can really change your life. We'll have a link to David's book. And again, if you would like to invite him to come and do a seminar in your church or ministry school on the love of God, number to call 888 3-7-8-FIRE. Okay, God begins to break you in certain ways. You begin reading voraciously. And what begins to happen? You kind of went on a discovery journey. What began to unfold?
Well, actually, from my experience, I had an experience here in Charlotte in about 1981, 82, where I believe that the Lord showed me that despite everything which I was doing in ministry, that that my primary goal in life was to be holy and not to know Jesus. And I know that that sounds crazy, like how can a person be holy without knowing the Lord? But I was sort of like using the Lord as a means to an end, which was my own sanctification.
Mm.
And what happened directly after that is I changed. I repented and began to make Philippians 3:10 the verse that I was going to guide my life by, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, with the end in view that I would qualify for the resurrection of the righteous, like what Paul wrote about in Philippians 3:10. About 8 years, 9 years later, also in the Charlotte area, I had an experience with the Lord where something went off in my heart, and by faith, I received an anointing to grasp the love of God. And I began to teach on it. This impartation began to be released in teaching and in anointing by the mercy of God. And now, I guess it's practically 20 years later, it's been affecting the lives of hundreds and I dare to say even thousands of people over the last several years.
You know, I got a message from one of our guys at Fire, walking with the Lord for many years, solid evangelist, loves Jesus, sees people genuinely saved, repenting of their sins, filled with the Spirit, seeing the sick healed. And he stepped out of your seminar one day completely broken, weeping with a revelation of the love of God that he never had before.
Yeah.
What are some of the biggest errors that have been taught? We'll start here, and we'll discuss this more on the show. What are some of the biggest errors that you would say have been taught? We'll take them one at a time. And then what are the consequences of those errors? Because this is not just heady stuff. If we have theological errors or misunderstandings or deficiencies concerning the love of God, this is not just a matter of date, you know, is Jesus coming 11 days into the tribulation or 41 days? You know, this is a lot more foundational.
Okay, well, let's begin with the concept that knowing and pursuing the love of God is like a waste of time, or that it'll be something which will bring a person, it's like a trivial pursuit. Like knowing the love of God is something that someone, you know, might add to their life, but that to get too involved with the understanding and entering into the experience of being loved by God is somehow going to cause someone to not be fruitful. They won't be as fervent in serving God, you know, things like that. That actually really is a major error. Before even understanding the nature of the love of God and pursuing it, so a person has to prioritize it.
All right, so you're saying that there's actually a theological concept or teaching in the body that pursuing the love of God is somehow a side issue and can actually lead to some kind of apathy?
Right. It's taken for granted, and if you pursue it, you're just going to end up becoming someone like in a corner, just saying, I'm loved, I'm loved, I'm loved, and it's part of like this whole feel good and it's all about me type of stuff that that leaders who want to see the ministries built up, churches changed, the lost reached, society impacted, they feel, well, this is just going to end up producing something which is not going to be bearing the type of fruit that we long to see in the people of God.
All right, so we want to produce really efficient workers, like salesmen that do well and perform their quota. That's what a lot of ministries want to produce. We're overstating on
right.
a certain level.
Yeah.
And this whole idea of just pursuing the love of God, that's like a mystic sitting in a corner or a monk off in the wilderness somewhere. No, we got work to do.
Right. So we read John 15 and we read, abide in me. Jesus says it like five times. You got to bear fruit. You have to abide in me. And we think that that has to do with like what is it we're doing with others or studying or how much we fast or how much we pray or what is it that we give and what are we involved in or pursuing righteousness, pursuing justice. And Jesus gives us a key to abiding in him in the ninth verse when he says, just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, abide in my love. And like what he's doing there is he's giving a key, like a door. This is how I want you to get to know me. This is how I want you to abide in me. It's by getting to know the love that I have specifically for you, just as I have come to know the love that Father has specifically for me. And he guarantees then that out of that relationship, like a real relationship with a real person who really loves us, we will actually begin to bear real fruit that is coming from the life of the Son of God in us.
All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to talk further about misconceptions of the love of God and then really minister the love of God. Revelation through the scriptures that God's given to my dear friend Pastor David Harwood. We're going to focus on the love of God today right here on The Line of Fire. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown with my special guest Pastor Dave Harwood as we talk about the love of God, misconceptions about God's love for us, why it's so critically important that we understand these things rightly, and really this incredible, simple, biblical truth that is so life-transforming. I'm not taking calls today, just having this conversation with Pastor David. If you'd like to invite him to do a seminar in your church or a ministry school or a conference setting, you can call us at FIRE, 888-378-FIRE. That's 888-378-3473. And we'll pass that information on to Pastor David. You can also email me with questions that you have at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. And if you go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, you can get into a discussion on the forum on this, as well as link to Pastor David's book. The title of your book?
Yeah, it's God's True Love.
God's True Love, and I read it carefully and was very pleased to endorse the book heartily.
Thank you, Doctor.
And you know, the thing that blessed me, David, the most was it was so scriptural. It was richly spiritual, and it was solidly exegetical, but in a way anyone could follow. You open up the Word, you've got good academic background to study the Word, but more than that, the spiritual backing. So that's what was neat. He's just amazing and wonderful, which has its place.
Yes, it does.
But it was opening up what the Scripture says. Okay, give me another major error. You talk about agape a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A major error in contemporary teaching on the love of God that really can mess up our thinking.
All right. Well, basically, the way in which things are taught is that agape is this unique God type of love, which is...
No, but everyone knows that. All the dictionaries say that. All the evidence says that, correct?
Well, you know, it's funny that a lot of times some of the lexicons don't say that, but the theological dictionaries tend to go in that direction.
Ah.
And also, like, the commentators tend to go in that direction. But the reality of it is, we have a mutual friend who's like a theologian. He said, when he read the book, he said, you know, David, the things that you've discovered through revelation and simple Bible study are being discussed and like on some very high academic levels, and things are changing. So, you know, I'm not that familiar with these things, but I can say this. Most of the people that are involved in discussing what it is that agape means have never really searched it out for themselves. And one of the ways that we know this is how they speak about it. Dr. Brown, they say that agape was a word, a Greek word, that was rarely used in classical Greek culture, and that the disciples got a hold of this word.
Kind of like a God kind of word.
Very much so. Got a hold of this word, and they invested in it a whole new meaning to describe a love which had never been known of before, never been seen before. And what they neglect to teach is that agape is used to translate the Hebrew ahava from the Hebrew scriptures into the Septuagint about 250 times.
All right, so the Hebrew word that's the word for love, which could be love of a man and a woman, parent and a child, God for a person, just the...
Person for God.
Right, the word for love that's used.
Mm-hmm.
That's translated over and over and over from Hebrew into Greek, the Greek translation of the scriptures a couple hundred years before the time of Jesus, that's just the word love. That's normally used.
Right, and like what I was taught over and over again was English, for instance. English, like Hebrew, is such a limited language. You know, we have one word for love. Just like Hebrew, this impoverished language Hebrew had one word for love, ahava. But in Greek, we have like these unique words that describe love. And the greatest of these words that describe the most pristine and holy love is agape. And really, what that type of statement is just not true.
All right, but hang on. Let me play the advocate for that other position. But that's more wonderful, because this is a special kind of love, a God kind of love that he loves us with. So it's a supernatural love. So why are you trying to downgrade it to just a regular love?
Well, you know, in the Psalms, for instance, in Psalm 94, it says that he who created the eye, does he not see? And he who made the ear, does he not hear? By saying that there's a correlation between how we see and how God sees, that's not downplaying God's sight. I mean, we know that, like, he sees more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he hears more than we do. And we know also that he loves more than we do. You know, there's an omnipotent person loving us. It's omnipotent love. But it's still love that corresponds to the emotion that we experienced that we experience continually as love, as human beings.
Okay, so tell me then your problem with this theological proposition that for nothing in us whatsoever, but simply by the arbitrary will of God, he set his love on us. What troubles you about that focused on this love of God issue?
Okay, well, this goes back to what it is that many of us were taught, like in the 70s, that love is not a feeling, but it's an act of our will. And so we go to 1 Corinthians 13 and we say, love is patient. And so what we do is we set our mind and our heart upon being patient. Love is kind, so we seek to be kind. But what Paul is describing is when you love somebody, how you act towards them because you love them. Kindness and patience is not the same as love. Love, when you love somebody, you act kindly, you act patiently. And what the believing community has done is that we have fallen short of looking for a true heart transformation, so that we are seeing people with the heart and interacting with people and with God and ourselves with the heart of God, rather than like seeking to fulfill ethics and principles that are like the results of really loving.
Okay, but this idea that God arbitrarily set his love on us for nothing in us, in a sense, was lovable.
Right.
But he just kind of, it almost like throwing the dice.
Right.
There's obviously something that troubles you very deeply about that notion of, quote, love.
Well, it's just not true. I mean, the scriptures testify that God really loves humanity. And that the type of love that God has for humanity, called agape, is not a transcendent type of willpower or a capricious type of love, but that he finds humanity and the world worth loving. And if I may, take a look.
Even in our sin?
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, very much in our sin. But let's take a look quickly at John chapter 3, where in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world, and the word there is agape, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. Then a couple of verses down, in verse 19, the Lord Jesus says this, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. And the word that is employed in the Greek there to describe the love that people have for darkness is also agape.
Oh, that kind of smashes that theory of it's the God kind of love, because sinful human beings don't have the God kind of love for evil. All right, hang on. We're up against a break. We're going to keep focused on John 3, and I believe this next segment is going to be really eye-opening, life-changing. If you'd like a seminar at your church on the love of God, 888-378-FIRE. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire, get Pastor Harwood's book on the love of God. us on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown, with a dear friend, and I mean that from my heart, Pastor David Harwood, from Long Island, fellow Jewish believer, but with a tremendous message on the love of God. He's put it in writing. We have had him regularly now teach our students, teach our congregants about the love of God. And I'm not taking calls today. You can email me, as always, at Dr. Brown. That's Dr. Brown at AskDrBrown.org. But if you hear this and you think, boy, I would love for him to come to our church and do a seminar or to our ministry school or a conference, you can call us at 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473. We'll pass that information on to Pastor David. Okay, we're talking about some misconceptions that people have. The idea that agape, or the verb agapao, speaks only of a God kind of love, which then separates it from our concept of love. I mean, I know the love that I have for my wife, for my kids, for my mom, my sister, my family, the love I have for our grandkids, the love I have for people in this world that need Jesus, and so on. If I understand that God's love is of a totally different nature, then it almost makes it like theological and impersonal. You're saying there's a major misconception, and that even in our sin, there's something in humanity that God loves. And you had mentioned in John 3, right before the break, God so loved the world. Mm-hmm. It's the same agape, agapao root. And then men love darkness rather than light, same root used.
Yeah.
And then 1 John 2, don't love the world, same agape root there.
Right.
And if you love the world, then you don't have the agape of the Father.
Right. And it's saying, do not agape the world or the things of the world. If anybody agapes the world and the things of the world, the agape of the Father is not in him. And the things that are discussed that they agape are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, yep, the boastful pride of life. That's John's definition of loving the things that are of the world.
So, all right, so John 3, in your mind, conveys something to us of God's love, a love that we can relate to, transcend it in terms of far beyond ours and perfect and pure, but the same kind of love that we relate to. What does John 3 teach us about God's love even for sinning humanity?
Well, it teaches us the same type of thing that is spoken of by Paul in Ephesians 2, where it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. So, by the way,
Tell me how he loved us.
Well,
let's expand on, explain what the scripture's saying. Tell me God's heart. He's looking at a sinning world. How is he feeling towards this sinning world, towards me and you in our sin?
Well, we can see as to how God loves the world by seeing how he loves his uniquely covenanted people, Israel, as it is discussed in the prophets, where a broken-hearted God who is going through the same thing with Judah that he went through with Israel. Remember, he told Hosea, when God began to speak to Hosea, he said, go and marry someone who's going to break your heart.
Mm.
And then later on in the diaspora, the Babylonian dispersion, when he looks for people to represent him, he finds a celibate, he finds a widower, and he finds a man who may very well have been a eunuch. So Jeremiah, don't marry. Ezekiel, your wife is going to die. Daniel, you come under the instruction of the chief of the eunuchs, and no wife is mentioned in this very highly autobiographical book. Now, I think that he was looking for a way to be able to express through somebody that knew firsthand what it was that he was going through, which really in many ways is part of the essence of the prophetic ministry. If you're going to be representing God in something, like, you better have an understanding from the inside of what it is that God is experiencing. And what God was experiencing over Judah was heartbreak. And what it is that he's experiencing over, and also through the prophecies in these type of prophets and others, a determination to bring Israel, a determination to bring the Jewish people back to himself, it's the same thing that he has for the world. He sees humanity as being like an adulterous bride or a son like an Absalom that is setting up his own kingdom, or as a someplace that he, in which he desires to dwell as a temple, which has become become like a place of like idolatry, like Manasseh's temple, you know, like child sacrifice or sensuality and these things. And God's determination is to bring humanity back to himself. And the way that he has done that is in the giving up of his only begotten son.
Mm. You know, when I worked in my Jeremiah commentary for a period of years, some of the chapters really open this up at length, and God keeps finding other images. It's one after another. It's almost there's no way to express the grief, but he to liken it to a man whose wife is now almost paying strangers to sleep with her,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to call her back, and she just, it's too mm-hmm. late. There's no use. I won't do it. I won't come back. The agony, the pain, the jealousy. So you're saying that reflects.
That's the Bible God. That's the father of our Messiah, Jesus. That's the heart of Jesus towards the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's trying to, well, he has succeeded in providing redemption. He wants humanity to return.
All right, so he is not a theological God, which he's
I imagine he knows some theology.
But, you know, you have this theological God, whatever the system, Calvinist or Arminian, is not my issue here. But you can have this theological God who does things because he is God, as opposed to God is a caring, loving Father, fully powerful, fully omnipotent, fully omniscient, not lacking in anything. But there's no contradiction between that and the passion of his love.
And when we take a look at an example of a caring father who is also heartbroken, we really do have a good view of that in David and Absalom. Someone who's setting up their own kingdom, who's lying about his father, who's seeking to pursue his father and to destroy his father, throwing him out of the city, which was even named after him. And when Absalom is killed, rather than rejoicing, it's almost like David has a nervous breakdown. It's like, my son, if only I could have died instead of you. Mm. And all of these people are around him are looking like, he was not worth loving. He was not worth loving. He wasn't worth loving. And so much of the church sees sinning humanity as being unworthy of God's affection, devotion, passionate heart, a real desire. It's like, who can understand a David weeping over an Absalom like this? Who can understand a God who would give his only begotten son? God was in Messiah, reconciling the world to himself. I mean, this is passion. This is jealousy. This is desire. Mm. This is the gospel.
We've got 45 seconds before the break, but does the idea of all fatherhood in heaven and earth deriving its name from the Heavenly Father, Ephesians 3, does that tie in with this concept in your thinking?
You know, I've never given that much thought.
All right.
But I can say this. He sees himself as humanity's father.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, the thought that comes to me, and I don't know if this fully relates to what Paul's saying, but when we as earthly fathers feel this tenderness, feel this affection, feel this longing. You know, who could understand David weeping over Absalom except a father,
mm-hmm.
a father who really loved his wayward son? And if our fatherhood derives from him and gets its name from mm-hmm. him, there has to be some relational aspect.
There's a correlation there.
All right.
He who made the eye, does he not see?
When we come back, I want you to minister some aspects of the love of God to our listeners. God has something for you, friends. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Boy, my heart is warmed and stirred as I talk with Pastor David Harwood about the love of God and something that really blesses me. In fact, I was having lunch with my family today and talking about this, that I sat with you and your dear, wonderful wife, Elaine, and you had just finished, I don't know how many hours of teaching, and Elaine was with you having heard you teach this, I don't know how many hours, we were having lunch, and the two of you were overflowing with excitement. And just want to talk about the love of God. I'm not taking calls. Email me questions at Dr. Brown. It's Dr. Brown at AskDrBrown.org. If you'd be interested, your church inviting Pastor Harwood or ministry school conference to do a seminar on the love of God, will help facilitate that. Call us at 888-378-FIRE. That's 888-378-3473, and we will pass that information on to David. I want you to just take a few minutes and speak from your heart to our listeners. Maybe they know, look, I've sinned, I've fallen short. How could God love me? I've disappointed him. I don't pray enough. You have strong standards of holiness. We share that. You have a strong burden for prayer. We share that. I mean, our hearts are so much in sync on so many areas. We're not looking for an excuse to go on and sin it. And yet, some people think if I just know that God loves me, then I could just sin as much as I want. But that's not the real love that they're getting hit with. So speak to us. I'm struggling. I'm not sure of God's love for me. I've fallen short. I don't think I'm doing well enough to merit his love. What do you say to people like that?
I can say I really understand how you feel. It's just that it doesn't line up with reality. The very people that the Messiah Jesus spoke to and said, I want you to remain in a conscious awareness of my love in the same way that I have remained in a conscious awareness of my Father's love, these disciples, they were not at their best moment then. I mean, they on the way to the Last Supper, on the way to that Seder, they're arguing with one another about who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. And then they get to the place, and there's nobody to wash their feet, and they all refuse to do it. And Jesus humbles himself, and he does this menial job. And they're an embarrassed people. They're humiliated. And the worst is yet to come. I mean, they're about to run away. Some of them are about to deny him. Peter is going to bind himself with religious oaths, saying, you know, basically like, God, strike me dead. And Michael, on the temple precincts, in the high priest's courtyard, he's invoking heaven's wrath upon himself if he's lying, and he's perjuring himself. And the Lord knows these things. He's already prophesied, Peter, like, you're going to deny me. And like, to these people who have acted in such a way to profoundly disappoint the Son of the living God, whom they loved, and who are about to run away to preserve their own lives or betray him in a very egregious fashion, he's saying to them, I want you to know that I love you the same way Father loves me. I see you as being worthy of my love. You stir my heart. I love you guys. Stay there. Remain there in the same way that I have remained in the love that my Father has for me. And this is something which is very important.
So wait, you're saying that his love for me is steady? It's not, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not?
No, I would say that at the very most basic and fundamental level, the love of God for you is, or the love of God for me is that he loves me enough to die for me. He loves me always enough that he would give up his life for me. And there are degrees and gradations of love, but it gets better from there.
Got it. So that's the unchanging public demonstration, revelation of the very heart of who he is. While we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us.
Yeah, it's more than enough to satisfy the longing of every heart.
We got about a minute before the break. Boast in the Lord, and just tell me some of the things that people have experienced after reading the book or going to a seminar.
Well, boasting in the Lord, I can say that over the last, like, I guess 4 or 5 years that we've been doing this, people's lives have been getting transformed. Their faith has been getting built. Their understanding of their experience has been getting sharpened. Their faith has been built in order to enter into a relationship with God with their eyes open to know the love that surpasses knowledge. There's a grasping which is taking place. There's spiritual impartation that is happening.
And it's all based on the truth of Scripture.
Yeah, we just stick with the Word of God. Thank God we have many a testimony in our own individual lives about being touched by the love of God and seeing the love of God. But Peter said, look, there's a more sure word of prophecy.
Yeah, the title of your book,
God's True Love.
God's True Love. Go to askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. There's a link to purchase this book. David, thanks for being with us. I'll be back with some closing thoughts. Stay with us.
Come to every time and come, it's in the revolution.
Michael Brown, thanks again for being with us. Friends, if you're just tuning in, you missed a really special discussion with a dear, close friend of many years, a Jewish believer, David Harwood, as we talked about the love of God. I've watched God move on David's heart for years now as this teaching developed, and finally there was a manuscript and then a book. I had the pleasure of endorsing the book on God's true love. If you go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, you'll find a link to David's book. While you're there, by the way, remember to take advantage of the special online offer where you can get a whole lot of teaching on Israel, debates with rabbis, other things for free with the purchase of one book. It's over 50% off, so take advantage of that. I want to say a few more things, though, about this subject of the love of God. And the worst thing to do is to feel condemned and like something's wrong with me if you don't, quote, get it. No, to the contrary, there's all the more tenderness in God's heart towards you if you don't get it. Because he wants you to understand how profound and deep and extraordinary his love is. And let me say this. If you've listened to me enough, you know that we don't play with sin on this broadcast and sinful issues and say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. God understands my sin, and it's, and, you know, no matter what I do, everything's okay. No, you know we don't teach that. We don't believe that. But I want to say as plainly as I can that a real revelation of the love of God will drive you from sin, not give you a license to sin. That a real revelation of his goodness and love and kindness will melt your heart to the point that you just want to serve him. And one of the things that David really strives to convey is that the love that God has is a real love because there's something about his creation that he dearly loves. It's not, you miserable sinners, I hate your guts, but because I have to do loving things, I'll send my son to die for you. But no. It's the love that Paul said constrains and controls him as an apostle in 2 Corinthians 5. That love is just a tiny reflection of the love in God's heart that constrained him to send his son. And when I was preaching in India last year, I was meditating on how Jesus related to his father. We often stress the father's love to us, but I began to chew on this. How does the father relate to Jesus? How does Jesus relate to the father? What was the sense of fellowship they had? How did Jesus, Yeshua, look at his father's love? And I thought, boy, that, I mean, of course, I've thought of that before, but just that emphasis, God has put the spirit of his son into our hearts by which we say, Abba, Father. On a fundamental level, if you are a child of God, then you are a joint heir with Jesus, a brother or sister in God's family. And in that sense, not in terms of your eternal or divine origin. No. That's the Son of God in a unique sense. But in terms of being a son or daughter of God, you and I are sons and daughters of God just as much as Jesus is in terms of we are now members of his family. And the Father set his love on us. Jesus didn't wake up every morning thinking, I got to do really good so my father will love me. And if I don't do good enough, he won't love me. No, to the contrary. Because he lived in the Father's love, he always did what pleased his father. Of course, it was his nature to do so. Listen to the broadcast. Share it with your friends. Get hold of the book, God's True Love. And if you'd like Pastor David Harwood to come and minister at your church, as his schedule permits, he travels a lot. Give us a call, 888-378-FIRE, and we'll pass that invitation on to Pastor David Harwood. Enjoy the love of God.